Blog Talk Radio.
Let's go. Yeah. Ghetto children singing. See, what up? They eager to learn how to become the next world leaders. Brave hearts. Revolutionary warfare is warfare, loving war for the cause. I gotta take you off here. Revolutionary warfare is warfare, loving war for the cause. I gotta take you off here. Book one, strategy, tactics, techniques. Look dumb, but massively notice the weakness in all them. Gotta you show me if necessary. Homie, vestige is very real if enemies carrying heavy steel. Beware the thugs who ain't scared of blood or jail time. When Aryan nations ain't having integration, we so blind the beauty of life. Was when my mom said, again, you could be Christ. I wasn't old enough to hold my D&P right. Jesus, what is he like? I picture him standing with diamonds on him, little different from the way my mommy saw him. Practice your aiming, physical training and difficult terraining. Test your endurance, try to keep your stamina banging, splitting duchess up, strap up. The armies of school, teaching smart ways to go. I'm thinking Gandhi was a fool, the chronic's a fool. Got me thinking out loud. Sleep on my drunkenness, I blow your brains out. Revolutionary warfare, warfare, loving war for the cause. I gotta take you off here. Revolutionary warfare, warfare, loving war for the cause. I gotta take you off here.
My revolution is as real as Bobby Seals. I build with dudes and Chris worth a quarter mil and Dick Hill. For fish gills, the cops love. The time come, I mask up and get my comrade off the bus. Up the beef, I snatch a seed from Chuck E. Cheese and feed them to the rats in the back of the peas. Black fatigue and off the scenes on a sofa. 50-inch flat screen, Louis Vuitton holster. My motions don't appeal to appellate division. I did it strong for 7 long years in prison. Up the system, I'm like a modern-day Hitler. A black gorilla, crib and blood in one only. Just know my face, I be the case, but the wish at the police. Look at the name Lake, go simultaneously with street revolution. 21 gun salute, the new Huey Newton.
Revolutionary warfare is warfare, loving war for the cause. I gotta take you off here. Revolutionary warfare is warfare, loving war for the cause. I gotta take you off here. Teach our woman how to hold a family down in case something happens to us fathers. Protect the children, grab revolvers. The woman plays an important part of our life force of what we fight for. My heart goes to you, beautiful wife in war.
Enlisten more and talk less. Watch all and trust none. Demand your respect and be ready to die for what you believe in. And ride all the time, not just when convenient.
Justice and freedom, wisdom and understanding. We the lost children of Israel in this Western world region. You ain't a man, you a coward if you can't support the girl you put a seed in.
Strong rule the weak, but the wise rule is strong. It's more to a war than just getting it on. Seal your form, cover your tracks, stay prepared. I don't care, no one's spared.
Revolutionary warfare is warfare, loving war for the cause. I gotta take you off here. Revolutionary warfare is warfare, loving war for the cause. I gotta take you off here. Revolutionary warfare is warfare, loving war for the cause. I gotta take you off here. Revolutionary warfare is warfare, loving war for the cause. I gotta take you off here.
I'm a soldier for life. The battle I'm fighting has no ending. To struggle is to go the distance. To win is not to care how far one must go.
How you feel?
Fine, sir.
How you feel?
Fine, sir.
How do we get access to this, Jackson?
His lawyers say they can get me in posing as a legal investigator.
You were Huey Newton's lawyer, right?
Yes.
And now, Mr. Jackson.
Mr. Jackson was sentenced 1 year to life for a $70 gas station robbery.
We have 2 hours.
Waiting a long time.
We need brothers who can maintain their self-respect in here, have true strength.
Some people are comparing you to Eldridge Cleaver, Richard Wright, Du Bois. How does your fame affect you when you're locked up all day?
Free the Soledad Brothers!
Free the Soledad Brothers!
Do you understand that there cannot be a peaceful revolution?
Okay, gentlemen, we're taking over!
Mr. Jackson, I'm sorry about your brother.
They will live to regret it. I'll see you today.
TV CSI.
This is the military, David.
Free the land, revolutionary ingredients. Welcome to another edition of Jordan and Richard Radio. I'm your host, Guman Shakir, where our goals are fivefold. Our first goal is to eradicate functional literacy among new African prisoners. Our second goal is to eradicate culture ignorance among new African prisoners. Our third goal is to transfer the criminal mentality to the new African mentality. We don't do that through educational means, you know. The fourth goal is to assist in the rebuilding and stabilization of new African communities. Got to be our new communities. The fifth goal is to create a new African prisoner for release, reducing new African recidivism. You know, mass incarceration, the biggest system, the biggest business in the world, and it's a legal system through the 13th Amendment. So you got to get an understanding of that situation all in hand. And our overall goal is transferring the whole pre-industrial slave complex to the prison system to the big institutional learning. Before I bring in our guest tonight, I'll let go of a couple of events happening in history during this week. On April the 17th, 1962, the Cuban revolutionaries, they crushed the U.S. out the Bay of Pigs invasion. In 1990, Reverend Ralph D. Abernathy, who succeeded Martin Luther King Jr. as president of the Southern Christian Leadership Conference, which is the SCLC, he died in Atlanta at the age of 64. In 1991, from the 17th through the 19th, African-American and African leaders met in Abidjan, Ivory Coast, in the first summit meeting of Africans and African Americans. The summit organized by Reverend Leon Sullivan and urged Western governments to cancel African foreign debt. Leon said, "Hold on, Africa." They also said, "Hey, keynote speech," he said, "We are coming. Home of our heritage, land of our past. We can help. We have 2 million college graduates in America. We earn $3 billion a year. 3 centuries ago, they took us away in a boat, but today we have come back in an airplane." In 2001, the state of Mississippi voted by a 2-1 margin to keep a state flag that includes the Confederate Battle Cross. We all know what that is in the South, white supremacy. April the 18th, 1864, surrounded by superior rebel force, the 1st Kansas Colored Volunteers smashed through rebel lines and sustained heavy casualties in an engagement at Poison Spring, Arkansas. Captured black soldiers were murdered by the Confederate troops. In 1903, the publication of Dr. W. Du Bois, The Souls of Black Folks, crystallized opposition to Booker T. Washington's program of social and political subordination. In 1941, Dr. Robert Weaver named Director of Office of Production Management, section charged with integrating blacks into the National Defense Program. That was in 1941. It wasn't, that was virtually 71 years ago. 1941 also, bus companies in New York City agreed to hire black drivers and mechanics. Agreement ended a 4-week boycott. In 1955, the Bandung Conference of Leaders of Colored Nations of Africa and Asia opened in Indonesia. In 1966, Bill Russell was named coach of the Boston Celtics basketball team and became the first black to coach a major and predominantly white team in professional athletics in the modern era. In 1975, James B. Parson was named chief judge of the Federal District Court in Chicago and became the first black to hold that position. The death of Percy Julian, 76, holder of more than 138 chemical patents and a pioneer synthesizer of cortisone, also occurred on that day as well. In 1980, Zimbabwe got their independence in Africa. Okay, independence. That was in 1980. It wasn't that long ago. April 19, 1775, black and white Minutemen fought British soldiers at Lexington and Concord. In 1925, Paul Robeson held for concert at Provincetown Theater in New York, Greenwich Village. Critics said it was the first time a black soloist had ever presented an all-spiritual concert. In 1960, the home of Z. Alexander Luby counts for 153 students arrested in sit-in demonstrations. Destroyed by dynamite bomb, more than 2,000 students marched on Nashville City Hall in protest. In 1960, the African People Organization, SWAPO, was formed. In 1969, ...100 black students carrying rifles and shotguns see the student union building at Cornell University to protest university racism. In 1972, Dr. Rosa Clemente was born. In 1972, Major General Frederick E. Davidson,
command of the 8-inch division in Germany, became the first black to lead an army division. Also on that day, the National Education Association steadily revealed that blacks had lost 30,000 teaching jobs in 1954 in 17 southern and border states because of discrimination and desegregation. Also on the 19th, Dr. Aline L. Bailey was born.
Hold up for a moment. On April the 20th, 1871, the Third Enforcement Act defined the Klan conspiracy as a rebellion against the United States and empowered the president to suspend the writ of habeas corpus and declare martial law in rebellious areas. 1877, federal troops were withdrawn from Columbia, South Carolina, and all Democrats took over the state of government. You know, all this happened after 13 men were fined in 1865. Those are just some of the conditions. 1964, school officials said 87% of the black students in Cleveland public schools participated in a one-day boycott. In 1971, U.S. Supreme Court ruled unanimously that busing was a constitutionally acceptable method of integrating public schools. Those are 1971, long ago. Also 1971, Johnny Jackson Jr. was born. Johnny Jackson Jr. is the son of Johnny Jackson, the man child that demanded the freedom of the Starlight Brothers in 1970, or August 7th, and was assassinated on that day. Which is he's also marked for Black August. In 1981, Archibald J. Carey, former chairman of the President Committee on Government Employee Policy, died in Chicago at the age of 73. On April 21st, 1898, the Spanish-American War began. Also, on 1966, Milton Olive Jr. was awarded the Congressional Medal of Honor for bravery in Vietnam. In 1983, Crystal Roundtree was born. Crystal Roundtree is an activist. She's part of an organization called I Am We, which is an advocacy program for prisoners. And she's also one of the main proponents and agitators in the Media for Freedom Right March in D.C. in 2017. On April 27, 1950, Charles Hamilton Houston, architect of the NAACP, led campaign, died in Washington at the age of 54. In 1964, New York police arrested 294 demonstrators at the opening of the World Fair. In 1968, Trinity College students occupied school administration building to protest campus bias. In 1974, the Joint Center for Political and Economic Studies reported that 2,991 blacks held elected offices in 45 states in the District of Columbia, compared with 2,621 in April 1973 and 1,185 in 1969. The center reported 108 black mayors. Michigan had the largest number of black elected officials with 194, followed by Mississippi with 191. In 1981, Braisford Reese Brazil, economist and former dean of Morehouse College, died in Atlanta at the age of 76. In 1984, Georgetown University basketball team won the NAACP championship, and John Thompson became the first black coach to lead a team to a Division I NCAA national title. Okay. On April 23rd, Granville T. Woods, a vendor of more than 20 patented industrial appliances, was born in 1856. In 1946, Marshall Eddie Conway was born. Marshall Eddie Conway is a Kentucky African citizen, a former political prisoner who did 44 years behind enemy lines, a former member of the Baltimore Black Panther chapter. In 1956, U.S. Supreme Court refused to review lower court decision that banned segregation in the interstate bus travel. In 1968, from the 23rd through the 24th, Columbia University operations virtually ended for the year by black and white students who seized five buildings on the campus. In 1990, Derrick A. Bell Jr., the first black law professor at Harvard University, started an unpaid leave by absence to protest the school's failure to appoint a black woman to attend her faculty. When in 1992, Bell did not return to the school, at the end of the sabbatical, the school fired him. He also authored of various books and literatures and publications. In 1990, Clifford R. Warrington, Sr., the first black career foreign service officer to reach the ranks of minister and ambassador, and the first black to serve as ambassador to a non-black country, died of a heart attack in Phoenix at the age of 90. He joined the Foreign Service in 1924 and was appointed ambassador to Norway in 1961. Now, those are a couple of events that happened in history during this week, but the show must continue and go on. I like to say free land, those identified with land, revolutionary ingredients. I like to thank all the people who've been following us since 2014. I thank all the people in their communities and their environments and their collectives that are currently educating themselves, doing productive work, and basically maintaining the holding line. You know, and tonight, I'd like to welcome to the show Sister Tafira Rushing. You there, sister?
Peace, how are you?
Peace, sister. I'm well. How about yourself?
Good. Can you hear me well?
Yes, I hear you well, sister. I hear you well. First, I'll let you thank you for coming to our platform to show you guys your understanding. Thank you for the work you're doing in the past, the work you're doing in the present, and the work you're doing in the future. To start things off, you tell the people a little about yourself, like who you are, where you from, where you came from, how you started, how you begun, things of that nature. Just a little bit about yourself. People can get an understanding of who you are.
Sure thing. Yeah, so Tafira Rushton, I'm from Detroit. I'm an urban farmer. I'm also organizer in the city for a lot of land-based projects. I started down this road, I would say, just to tell you a little bit of my personal story. I started down this road probably about 20 years ago. I was, you know, probably to a lot of people searching for some answers. Once I kind of got of age and I understood that this system was doing harm to people, and particularly black people and particularly people that look like me, it became clear that I wanted to resist that. And I did that in a number of ways. So I kind of started out on a spiritual path, rebelling against kind of, you know, modern religion. And then I studied a lot of different pathways, and I ended up taking about 10 years of my life and living pretty far off grid, as you would say. So so for about 10 years, I quit school. I was really not involved with the system at all, and I was doing everything I could to figure out how we could construct something new and something different, something that wasn't going to be harmful to our people. And so emerging from that, I delved into the nonprofit sector, and I'm currently been in nonprofit for the last, say, 12 years, I believe. So nonprofit work around farming. That was particularly important for me as I was on my journey. Here in Detroit, about 15 years ago, we had a regional blackout, and I was, you know, I could quote any scripture. I could, you know, I was really super far into my spiritual work, but when that blackout happened, I realized how vulnerable we were as a city, and I was a family and my people. So I was raising kids in the middle of the hood, and I felt like when that blackout happened, I could not help but to see that going to the grocery store, things got the stores were getting empty, and it really clicked to me that no matter how far revolutionary we get, you know what I mean, if we don't understand a basic understanding of how to grow our own food and how to maintain our families in that way, then we really kind of just tread in water, you know what I mean. And so I really began to devote my life to really practicing independence. And that started for me, that started with growing food. I then began to try to acquire skills to live more closely with the land. So understanding how to, you know, build shelter, how to harvest things that were right growing in the growing out of the what looked like weeds in a lot of the vacant lots that we had here in Detroit, how to harvest those things, which ones were weeds, which ones were actual things that I could use for medicine. I began to spend a lot more time with the land itself and develop and cultivate my relationship with the land. And it really, for me, was a very healing process and something that I wanted to share with other people. So in addition to the farming work, I began to host camping events for particularly for people of color here in Detroit, and really exclusively for black and brown folks. And from that, a number of people got together and formed a coalition around getting black folks out into the land, and we call that Black to the Land Coalition here in Detroit. So I'm an organizer for them. So that's a little bit, you know, maybe I'll stop there. That's a little bit of where I'm coming from, this work and understanding, you know, the need for us to put together some skills toward our liberation.
True, indeed. True, and that's a nice little summary of a lot of interesting things. You said one thing. You said you was an urban farmer. To the people listening, what exactly is an urban farmer? What exactly is that?
Okay. Yep. So I, the organization I work for, we operate a 1-acre farm here in the city. So folks who are growing food in the city, at that farm, we support the growth of other gardens across the city. So part of my job is to go to people's neighborhood and help them establish gardens in their neighborhood. That's something that brings me a lot of joy because for me it's about somebody who grew up with a green thumb. I'm not somebody who went to college for agriculture or anything like that. But I understand the importance of growing food to our liberation, you know. And so there's a saying, if you can't feed yourself, you can't free yourself. And that just
true
was so true to me. Yep.
True indeed.
So we cultivate all kind of vegetables and selling it at market and then teaching people how to do that in their neighborhoods. One thing you and I were rapping on, and I guess I can highlight here, is the Black Farmer Land Fund that was started here in Detroit. And we provide capital for people to purchase land in Detroit. And so to date, we have awarded 70 urban farmers, Black urban farmers, with the capital they need to purchase their land and to set up, to start setting up their gardens. So capital is a big barrier for a lot of our people, and we didn't want that to be a barrier for ownership. Even though we know you can't really own land, right? But it does give us that site control over that space, which is important.
Well, you know, in regards to that, right? If a person wanted to receive this capital to obtain this land for the farm, how to go about doing so? What are somebody like prerequisite? What are the methods to go about reaching y'all, contact y'all, and you to do that? What's the way to do it? How you go about doing it, obtaining it, so to speak?
Yeah, absolutely. So our website is Detroit Black Farmer, and that's, you know, that's obviously for folks in Detroit. If you're in Michigan, there are two other Black Farmer funds that have spurred off of this work. One in Washtenaw County, one in Grand Rapids. If you're outside of Michigan, there are a few land funds nationally. I'm looking to try to link those funds and really do some cross pollination with some of the funds that are national. If you're in the Detroit area, definitely check us out at Detroit Black Farmer. We launch an application every year on Juneteenth, which is June 19th, and that is the
okay.
The way you would plug in. Yeah, and I'm always available for consultations in terms of folks starting gardens. Now it's spring here in Michigan; it's time to get going. So, I'm a strong advocate to at least grow something of your own. Don't be an avid consumer. Grow something. Like there's nothing but some urge in the window. Play a part in your self determination and feeding yourself.
No doubt. In regards to that also, now, for instance, if a person obtained the capital, but they don't really know about farming, is there any kind of way the land fund assisted people in learning how to farm or learning about agriculture, learning about the growing thing? Is that any kind of program that deal with that in regards to the fund as well? Or the individual had to do it on their own?
Yeah, that's a good question. So in Detroit, there is a strong network of growers and education. In fact, the nonprofit farm that I work for, Keep Growing Detroit, I'm on the education team. So we do that work. We probably kick out about 50 classes a year on gardening. And like I said, always willing to do like one-on-one technical assistance because, you know, we're in an urban environment. We didn't necessarily grow up around farms. Some folks did. My grandmother had a farm, you know what I mean? But my mother did. My mother had to go to work, you know what I mean? So she didn't have a farm. She didn't have a garden. And so that knowledge that knowledge skips that generation, and but it's something that it's something that's vital because, and I don't want to get out on a tangent just on food because we can talk about a lot of things, but food is probably, you know, the major killer of Black folks, you know, right now, you know, in terms of commodity food and fast food that are infiltrating our cities. They're so convenient to pull up at a McDonald's and grab you some fries. You know what I mean? It's so convenient. And when we look at food related disease, it's the number one killer in the Black community. Heart disease, high blood pressure, hypertension, all of those things, diabetes, all are food related. So a lot of cancers are food related. And so when we're talking about liberation, we need to really break down and look at these different systems that have us in a bind. One of them is the food system. Okay, so you know, the food system is controlling us in some way. We don't have autonomy in that system. You know, there's all different kind of systems that this United States functions with. You got the, you know, judicial system, you got the prison system, you got all these different systems, and we got to really evaluate each one and look at the oppression in each one, you know. And so it's important for a number of reasons. One thing that I will say is that farmers are also cultivators of land. One thing that really stood out to me about the Republic of New Africa is your motto, right? Free the land. So that automatically attracted me. Free the land. You know, what are you saying there? What does that mean to you? You know what I mean? Because once
yes,
you,
ma'am. What does it mean to you? You
know, what does it mean? Because once you know, once you free the land, you know, say right now, we're liberated right now. What is our relationship to the land right now? I think if we're honest with ourselves, if we were to have land right now, we would perpetuate the same relationship that we've been taught by this oppressive system. This capitalistic system has taught us to oppress the land, just like we oppress people.
Yes, ma'am.
And if we're not careful, as we're headed toward our liberation, as we're headed toward nationhood, and we're not careful to rethink, and not just rethink, I'm talking really practically, begin to practice and redevelop our relationship to the land so we're not abusing the land in the same way that this system does. Capitalistic system is so hard on land. Just as it's hard on people, it's hard on land. That's why we're facing a lot of the things that we're seeing right now, you know, with climate change and all of that, an increased instances of flooding and natural disasters. All of that is because we're not in right relationship to the land. And what we're not seeing is that the land is a living being. You know, you put your hand in that soil and it's living beings in there. And we don't have a good relationship with the land. So I feel like, you know, one of the things that, you know, Creator got me doing is to, you know, practice right relationship with the land. And cultivating the land for food production is such a good start in that, because you get really nitty gritty with it. You get to see what the soil is made of. You're starting to you know, care about the makeup of the soil, whereas, you know, that was just an empty lot down the street. You didn't care what was in that soil. You didn't care that the city backfilled it with a bunch of crap. You know what I mean? And now when you cultivate the land, you're up close with it. You know that the soil is nurturing the food that you're about to eat, that's about to nurture you and your family. So you want that soil to be healthy. You want that land to be healthy. You know, with the Black to the Land Coalition, we do a lot of work with getting people out in nature and experiencing that healing. You know, we may take 25 Black folks down the river in a kayak, maybe never been on a kayak, maybe never even experienced the river in that way. You know what I mean? You know what I mean? And then
it's
we sit up there and we talk about the history. I mean, you gonna have to come on, somebody. You have to come on down. You know, and we together. We're not, you know, I grew up and I was able to have some experiences out in nature that probably a lot of my peers didn't have. You know, but when I was out there, I was with all white folks. Honestly, you know what I'm saying? But we out there with each other in our own culturally appropriate ways, blasting our music if we want to, talking the way we talk. You know what I mean? And being okay with that. You know what I mean? We headed down the river. We talking about the importance, the historical importance of this river and how this river was a connector for multiple tribes in this area and what were those tribes understanding and getting a real relationship with this land. You know what I mean? A real relationship, you know. I took my daughter there in the wintertime. I took my daughter out there in the wintertime. Me and her kayaking on the river in the winter. And, you know, she got to ask me all kind of questions. Where do the fish go when it's where do the fish go when it's cold? You know, why is the river frozen here and it's not frozen there? All of this is science, biology, but when our children can experience it in a real way and not in a way that's inside of a classroom, inside of a box, 8 hours a day, you know what I'm saying? You know, that's not science. That's not experience science. Experience science when you're out there, you know, so yeah.
That's right.
It's a lot, you know.
I have a few questions in regard to that. You know, you had mentioned that the Black Land Coalition take you out to the camping and into the woods and things of that nature. Is there any kind of aspect where people learn, like, techniques or training in regard to self-defense or training in regard to hunting? You know, or fishing, things of nature, other survival skills besides just the farming aspect. You know, did they like any kind of self defense proponents or?
Yeah, we're on the same page.
Okay, go ahead.
We're on the same on that. We partner with a local group called Black Bottom Gun Club. We've done work and trainings on gun safety. I'm in the process of getting my CPL right now in terms of self defense. We also We do whole days where we're just doing fishing. So each event that we're doing, we're trying to have a skill share there. You know what I mean? Because I'm gonna tell you, when I was in the thick of it, Bomani, like I was in the thick of it in terms of my off the grid, you know, life that was about in my 20s. You know what I'm saying? When I was in the super thick of it, I really thought that this nation was on its last legs. You know what I mean? I really thought that, and it scared me because I knew our people wasn't ready for that. Honestly, you know what I mean? We in these urban areas, and we spoiled as hell. We spoiled as hell on, you know, fish get right delivered to our, you know, our front door if we want to. You know what I'm saying? An understanding of how to go out there and get it. A lot of us don't. Some of us are holding those traditions alive, and thank God that there are people who are doing that. Uncle out there on the pier, you know what I mean? And you know, it's not just fishing; it's how to build a fire. Once you know what I'm saying, how to collect, and then how to do it in a way that's respectful to the land who is alive. You know what I'm saying? So it's so deep, and I'm just so happy to be on this journey. You know what I mean? And you know, you're on your path, and you get shown different things and told which way to go, you know. And, yeah, it's been a journey.
True indeed. True indeed. You know, is there any like, are the events and programs geared toward everybody of all ages, or is there anything specifically like dealing with the youth specifically? Just to have time with them alone, anything geared to the youth specifically that they can get involved with at certain times?
Yeah, that's a good question. So I'll just drop the plug and say if you're interested in this work, We're at blacktotheland.com, and you can check out our event page if you're in the Detroit area, or if you're just interested in how we're organizing around land-based work. We started off doing family events. So, you know, a lot of outdoor things, you may get teenagers going camping or something like that. We started off with as being a whole family. So you can come as an individual. You can come as a single mother with a couple of kids. In fact, most of the people on our board have kids and are, you know, day-to-day folks. And then 2 years ago, we started a program called Urban Forest School. And this is something that is prominent within certain white communities, but the Urban Forest School, this is like probably one of the only black forest schools in the nation, whereas once a month we get together and let the children just immerse themselves in nature. That one is geared for 10 and under. We do some guidance, but most of it is them guiding the walk, them guiding the questions. Like I said, with my daughter going out, so many questions pop up for them this week. Why is this bug doing this? Why is that tree looking like that? You know what I mean? So that's guiding the lessons. Their questions are guiding the lessons. That's kind of our program. And then we just started a team program around the same concept. But it's good work.
Okay.
And I want to say I really honored that you had me on here today. I didn't get a chance to say that in the beginning, but we linked up at that conference, and it was good to meet you, and I'm happy that you had me on tonight. It's an honor.
True indeed. It's an honor that you're on. Don't say the shade now that you understand, because the work you're doing is very important in regards to independence, in regards to self-determination, just overall the aspect of people being able to control and manipulate certain things that they have their hand into in regard to the means and close to them, and also benefiting from it. It be economically,
absolutely,
be it trying to have spending your belly, or be it something, you know what I'm saying, to develop certain types of skills, right? You know, I want to ask
absolutely
you, is it any kind of how exactly does emergency preparedness relate to food independence in regard to what you're doing? How do those two relate?
Yeah, that's a great question. So I mentioned that Black the Land is a coalition. So every board member at the table is doing work on their own. So two of our board members are heavy into the emergency preparedness and survival work. One brother, B. Anthony, he does a whole emergency preparedness course with us weekend, where he shows people like what type of items you want to have around the home. You know, your bug out bag, if you're familiar with that term. Like if you hit the fan right now, you know, being prepared.
Bug in, bug out.
And then another board member, Sister Adrian, she does a challenge every year of what food are you storing. And this is pre-COVID, right? So COVID, so people kind of thought we were kind of crazy, you know what I mean? A little bit. Oh, yeah, doing, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But when COVID hit, I feel like everybody really saw how it was another situation where you could see the vulnerability in our food system. We're right now, we're reliant on food being trucked in and out. That means we're relying on gas prices. We're relying on people to do that work of trucking food in and out. We're relying on other people to grow that food and then truck it here. You know what I mean? You look at, and you mentioned in your history facts, you mentioned Cuba, because when they were first facing their embargo, well, that's one of the first things they did. They turned to urban agriculture. You know, they're highly, highly into supporting their citizens and growing their own food and providing resources to do that. I mean, they're a mecca for urban agriculture, and that really helped them get through these last you know, 50 years. So, emergency preparedness is high on the list. And like I said, you know, I really want to emphasize that we need to get a little bit practical with this shit. You know what I mean? Like, you know, I don't know. Can we guess on this thing?
Yeah.
But,
go ahead. So, express yourself. Express yourself.
I'll tell you a story real quick about that. when I was going through my hiatus, you know, I was one of them super spiritual people. Like, meditating every day, yoga every day, you know what I mean? Walking around barefoot, head wrapped to the sky. And I found that I was starting to disconnect from my people, even in my own neighborhood. People felt like they couldn't approach me or say certain things to me. And immediately I needed to ground myself. And one of the things I do to ground myself is cuss. You know what I mean? So I say that to say no disrespect to anybody on the line or whatever like that. But it's a way that I ground myself in staying, with the people, basically, and not going too far in the cloud with certain things, you know?
A lot of times, like when we're doing things collectively like that in regards to growing and planning and organizing, right? A lot of times people don't even realize or recognize the types of unity that are being expressed in it forms the unity, the relationships and unity that we develop, right? Just on alone, like teaching people getting together, learning how to develop a community guard. And everybody in the community brings some kind of thought in regard to what he wanted in the garden. Then when everything being grown, everybody be able to deal with crop economics in regard to everybody getting a certain amount of wet being produced, everybody might be able to receive certain things in regards to being able to sell certain things to get certain monetary benefits, you know, people lining with each other ears, people working together, you know, it's a lot of different benefits in regards to that, especially in regards to you mentioned about the food independence, right? The food independence. Like you saying, there's a war going on in regards to the food. They've been going on a long time. And we know in warfare, one of the first things they take away from you is the food. So when everybody hungry, then when everybody get crazy, you know, people start turning to each other, going against each other, and, you know what I'm saying, compromising the operation of the organization, whatever, because they hungry, they want something to eat, you know.
Yeah.
People start engaging in criminal activity because they want food. You know, a lot of things happen. A lot of things happen, right? So what y'all are doing is very important.
And, you know, just to emphasize what you're saying, because relationships are the key. You know what I mean? They're the key to this whole thing. Because we need to really start, you know, practicing what it looks like to be liberated. Until we get there, until we get the land and we get the government, we get all that, we need to practice this. We need to practice what our relationship to each other is going to be, what our relationship to the land, as I already went kind of deep into that one. But our relationship to each other is huge, right? Like, we get free today, and we're going to be arguing tomorrow. we're going to be arguing tomorrow. And, you know, I just want to say, like, one of my biggest things is I come from, you know, Bomani, I don't come from this political kind of community. I'm new to this. I'm learning this aspect. I'm really happy to be. But I come from the spiritual community, conscious community. And in the conscious community, you got 50 million type of folk. You got the Israelites, you got the Muslims, you got the Moors, you got the, you know what I mean? you can keep going down the
road. Yeah, I understand exactly what you mean.
You got the Orisha, you know, you got the, you know, and trust me, I done studied each and every one of them, because there's a nugget of truth in each of them, right? But a lot of times we're letting that divide us instead of what it's supposed to do is to bring us together. You know what I mean? And so if we don't be careful, that's gonna be the downfall of us. I sit up here and watch, and I'm probably sure everybody on this line sit up here, watch YouTube, watch people sitting up there arguing for hours back and forth about some shit that happened 2,000 years ago. And meanwhile, yep. We got stuff to do today. Meanwhile, we don't even know how to build a fire. Meanwhile, we don't even know how to grow some salad. You know what I'm saying? Meanwhile, we don't even know what government structure we would even choose or opt for, you know, in a new nation. You know what I mean? Like, let's get real about this. You know what I mean? Let's get real about this. I ain't really got time to be back and forth with somebody about, you know, something that we cannot really prove. You know what I'm saying?
Personal beliefs, rather. Those are their personal beliefs. Yeah.
Exactly. You keep your personal beliefs, and let's build on what we have together. You know what I'm saying? You keep that. If that's strengthening you, if your belief in whatever God you want to believe in, if that's strengthening you, you know, I don't want to take away from that at all, because we need our strength. That's in a survival situation. Your mentality is the first thing that you need to really have in check. You know what I'm saying? So you need something that's strengthening you. You know what I'm saying? Even before I got on this call, I sat up here, lit my candle. You know, I did my stretches. You know what I'm saying? I did my thing. I have my tools that strengthen me. Everybody got to have their tools that strengthen them.
Okay.
No, you know, no love lost, you know what I'm saying, to any of that. But we got to start to build beyond those individual ideologies. You know what I mean? Because those are meant to divide us, and we don't really have time for the division. You see what I'm saying? Because if, you know, if all of us are right on this thing, I do believe capitalism is on its last leg. You know what I'm saying? This nation is a young nation, and this new generation is they're thinking more socialist minded than ever before. You know what I'm saying? We're on the precipice of something. We ain't got time to be arguing about some old stuff, you know.
I can dig it. What exactly are some ways that an individual can protect food? You know what I'm saying? In regards to, like, protecting it, if it be in the garden, how can you preserve it longer after you picked it? What are some of the ways to protect food, you know, to make it last longer or to make it grow better? What are some forms of protection that people can utilize, a method, so to speak?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Well, you know, I'm in Michigan, so one of the main things I need to protect food from is the temperatures. that's one of the main things. So a lot of times you'll see people get in those large structures. You might have seen them. They're like, a lot of times metal, and then they have the plastic over it on the cow hoop houses. Those protect your crops from the cold. And then if you're talking about like protection from pests, there's all kind of things you can do naturally to protect from pests depending on the pest that you have. But we could jump into a whole class on gardening if you want to one day. and then in terms of preserving it, you really have kind of three options depending on the crops. You can dry it, dehydrate it, you can freeze it, or you can can it. That's kind of the three options. And each of those in itself are a class. You know what I mean? So, but yeah.
Okay.
That's a good question.
Okay.
You got a garden?
I see. I got a garden, but I currently don't have anything in it right now. I have a few things. I got
okay.
some sage, some mint.
Okay.
I got a couple things in it, but I actually got to dig a few things up so I can plant me some tomatoes and peppers and things and other things that nature I like to eat. So I'm kind of behind a little bit right now with my time in regard to putting things in the ground. So I need to put some. I'm behind time, but I'm just on time. You know, so I need to put some few things in the ground myself. I do. I used to have some every year. I've been doing it. I've been playing things.
Thing,
like,
what
last,
people
four,
don't,
last about 4 or 5 years, I've been playing. I have a couple of little items I've been playing last 4 or 5 years.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nice. Y'all
yeah, I've been doing it a little bit last 4 or 5 years. Yeah, yeah, you know, the mints and, you know, peppermint and sage and, you know, and stuff like just different things like that, you know, tomatoes, onion, peppers, you know, just different things like that I have out there. Sometimes
right.
sweet potatoes, you know, potatoes, you know. Try cantaloupe in my
yeah,
network, you know,
you.
Different kind of things, try things in my network, you know, but it's all the effort.
Good
it's all
you.
The effort. And,
I need my pictures.
And being there to do certain things. Okay, okay. No doubt, no doubt. I see you involved in a few different organizations like Detroit Food Co-op, Detroit Food Policy Council, Steering Committee for their Uproot Racism and Plant Justice Initiative. You done work with other very organizations like Green Thumb Counseling, Consulting, Detroit Environmental Agenda, Detroit Partnership for Learning Innovation, Rescue MI Nature Now. Tell a little bit about some of those relations in regards to those organizations and what are some of the things you do in those organizations.
Sure, yeah, sure. So, yeah, I kind of, maybe I need to learn to say no, you know what I'm saying? But I kind of got my hand on a lot of different pots, but for me, they all kind of come together. But, so, I am mentioning Keep Growing Detroit. That's my 9-to-5. I'm a co-director there. And then Black Your Land, I'm a co-founder and co-chair there. And then the Detroit Black Farmer Land Fund, I'm a co-founder of that. And then I'm on the People's Food Co-op as a treasurer. I serve as treasurer right now for the co-op. We're going to be building a building out. We just secured the land and just secured the final pieces of capital we needed to put together. It's really a practice in cooperative economics. So we, I don't know how it is where you are, but here in Detroit, it's kind of a travesty because we have, 85% Black population. And we have zero grocery stores owned by Black people. You know what I mean? And so even in Michigan, I think we have one or two. Yeah, and so, yeah, when we're talking about the food system, it's not just about producing food. It's about the whole system of producing food to distributing food. And we have to have some control and autonomy at each of those points to really say that we're sovereign, to say that we're free, to say that we're going toward liberation. We need to have sovereignty over what we produce, and we need to have some sovereignty over how it's distributed. And this co-op is a people's co-op, and so it's run by a board of people that are I'm on the board. There's 6 or 7 of us, and a majority Black board. And you in a co-op, you're a member, so you have a voting. You have a vote. It's a more of a democracy in how how the store is run, and so it's a really different model. Co-ops are a different model, in that we could really delve into the history of Black people with co-ops. That's a whole history lesson right there. But yeah, the co-op, and then I sit on the board for. I sit on the board for a few different organizations or serve as board advisor just because I have some knowledge around acquiring land in the city. And so I advise a number of different organizations on, their project. I just be trying to get it popping. The Food Policy Council, I'm not on there anymore, but I was on there for some time in its first development. So looking at food in terms of policy is a whole other aspect of the game. We mentioned, I think that's all we mentioned, a few other boards that I was on. it ain't really, you know.
Yeah.
It's more so being a servant of other people and trying to do what I can in different organizations.
You know, in regards to your work, tell them about some of the adversity you face. What are some of the adversity you face out there? Like, do you deal with racism? Do you deal with people trying to sabotage your plants, stealing your machinery? I'm just saying, what are some of the adversity that you deal with in regards to your work? What are some of the problem issues that you face, and how do you overcome a lot of that?
Adversity. I would say, that can look different ways, for sure. I would say probably the biggest one is the nonprofit structure that we find ourselves organizing in is, you know, it has its strengths and it has its weaknesses. And I would say the biggest thing that propels me in terms of the work is wanting to see, you know, equity at every level, you know what I mean? And so, really challenging myself to understand what that means and actuate that in all of my environments. For example, like one of my jobs is I'm working at a mostly white-led organization. And so, having to navigate that, and also ensure that I stay true to my mission there, and also challenge them to think outside the box in terms of how they're moving in the city, there's a number of, number of adversity, and I hope like all of us, we use our adversity to challenge ourselves to think differently or move differently, I like to deal with adversity, but other than to see the lesson in it,
Okay. No doubt. My next question is there any kind of offered program or institutions in regards to, like, people returning home from prison, like returning citizens? They can engage in some of the work or actually learn some things, or either, like, for like a apprenticeship or intern or learning certain things to like for instance, would it be anything possible in regards to like having some kind of housing development situation where people are actually coming in, they're living there, they learn how to form on the scene while they're living there, while attaining a roof over their head after being incarcerated? Is there anything like going on, or any thoughts about that going on in regards to the situation in particular? Okay.
Hey, can you hear me?
Did you?
Okay, sorry about that.
Yeah, I heard you.
My call is up. Yeah. Where were we at? We were talking about the prison or reentry type. What were we talking about?
I will ask you. Is it any kind of program that geared toward people re-entering the society to like basically like teach them how to farm or garden or any kind of house development where they can stay there on a location and learn how to do certain things in regards to gardening and farming and agriculture? Is any kind of program institution that y'all have that geared toward that?
Yeah, not in regards to housing, but farming. Farming is an excellent, career for a returning citizen, because it's your own business. And so, I know a number of returning citizens who have, you know, started up farming businesses, and we definitely support them in that work, but not necessarily in terms of housing, for sure.
Okay. That's understood. That's understood. You know, again, I want to thank coming to our platform, so you know how you understand it, right? And, you know, and I commend you how you're working, your efforts, and I want you to push forward. You know, I did turn on open a line for a caller or two, let them ask a couple of questions. You know, hold on, let me see real quick. Let me see. 614-285. You got any questions, comments, statement, please do see the time. 614-285, your line's open. You got any questions, comments, statement, or announcement?
I apologize for being late. I was being interviewed on another channel, but what I did hear, I appreciate immensely. Yes, this is Elder Mama Condi. Sis, what's your name?
Tafira.
Say it again, please.
Tafira.
Jasira, am I saying that right?
It starts with a T, Tafira.
Oh, Tafira. Thank you.
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you for correcting me. Thank you, sweetie.
Absolutely.
Do you know what it means?
It means harmony.
Harmony. In what language?
Aramaic.
Aramaic. Ethiopian. Wow, that's beautiful. And you're doing this with your life. I'm extremely proud of you. And just for the little that I heard, and Brother Bomani, since I missed the whole first part, please make sure you send me the link so I can listen to it later on. But I just wanted to acknowledge you. Thank you. I wanted to acknowledge you, sis, and tell you thank you and that you are appreciated. Thank you very, very much. I am a blind elder now, and I have about 50, 60 years of service in this struggle. Even though I'm blind and in a wheelchair now, I still have my faculties. So if there's anything that I can share with you, if you want to pick and prod and poke and questions, provoke me, pull some of that stuff I got that you might be able to use. It's just deep down in my soul, and it's just waiting for a young person to pull it out. Be my guest.
I would love that. Yes, brother, can you please connect us after the show? But thank you so much for the encouragement, and I definitely will take
advantage of it.
I'm a question asker, so I definitely will take advantage of that, Mama.
Be my guest. Be my guest. Thank you again, and
no
I yield.
No doubt, no doubt. We appreciate it, Mama Condi. No problem. Sister. Is there any kind of information you want to lead the people with in regards to websites, the name or location where people come to and get the experience firsthand, or any kind of information you want to share with the people, you know, that are listening, or people that will be possibly listening later on in regards to how to get involved in particular work that you're doing?
Yeah, absolutely. You definitely should check out Detroit Black Farmer. Very inspirational to see the different projects that are happening in Detroit by black farmers and the support that's there. And then definitely blacktotheland.coalition.com is where you will find kind of the nature-based work that we're involved with. And definitely, if you so desire to reach out, I'm at t_fire. On Instagram, and definitely would love to chop it up with folks doing this work as well. Yeah, it's great to build networks, and it was great to be a part of your show, Bohani. Appreciate it.
Appreciate you, sister. Can you leave, what are your final what are your final thoughts you want to leave us with?
Let's actuate this struggle and work on being really practical about our next step. Is where I would like to leave it.
Okay. That's good information. I appreciate the information. I appreciate you taking time out your schedule to basically to express the importance, get detailed information, and be expressive, as well as informally educational about your delivery in regards to what's going on in particular, and how people can benefit from the significance of it, and how important it is to be engaged into the particular work. So I thank you for all the information. And if anyone has any comrade, little associates behind enemy lines, please look at Georgia University. I'm going to say Long Live the Resistance, Long New Independent Movement. I'm going to say Free the Land. And thank everybody. Peace.
Peace. Free the Land.
Bye, Minister.
Thank you.